Mr. Hogan.
Mr. Reinberger.
How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing really well, actually. I'm quite chuffed, really, to be seeing a film that, I don't actually have any investment in the franchise. I think it's quite nice to do that every once in a while.
Alita Battle Angel, basically about a robot scavenged off the tip face. Eventually, the robot figures out that she's a fighting machine and she can save the world.
See, I see this like the last time that Clark and I went to the tip shop and he scored the tripod-mounted, belt-fed, battery-operated Nerf gun, the one that normally retails for $160, for $20. And I just said to him, I will drop $20 on this because it's not going to work. We're going to get it home and it's going to be broken. Not broken at all. Absolutely works like a treat. So if you think about
That's why some parent got rid of it. I'm sick of this thing.
Oh, no. The only reason a fully functional, very expensive Nerf gun ends up on the tip is someone's cracked it and gone, if you shoot your sister one more time, that's going on the tip. Bang. Done. Sorted. Because it's fantastic.
Let's have a look at who's doing what. Robert Rodriguez doing the direction.
James Cameron is one of the producers on this and also credited as one of the screenwriters. And I heard today from a person who would know, a well-known fellow geek, that word on the street, i.e. the internet, is that Cameron was extremely, extremely hands-on in the direction and was sending Rodriguez daily instructions about what things should look like. So it's going to have a bit of Avatar stench to this one.
They've also got the actual original author, Yukito Kishiro, who did the graphic novel, down as one of the writers, which I think is as it should be. If it's based upon a written work, that author should also get some of the credit for the movie.
But it also means, though, in the context of this, because he's credited as a screenwriter and not based on a story by, it means he had direct input into the screenplay. And now some authors don't want that because that's not their thing. They don't write screenplays. But I always think when the author's heavily involved, you're a little bit more comfortable that at least part of their vision is going to get onto the screen. Neil Gaiman being the classic example. You know, when he's involved in his stuff, it generally looks and feels like a Gaiman story.
I was actually trying to think today of what manga has Hollywood successfully adapted, like to general acclaim. And I can't think of one. Now, there's plenty of things that have gone from manga to live action in Japan. And I'm sure there's plenty of people who would talk about how much they love those. Hollywood's tried a dozen times to adapt a manga, and never has it just worked in a brilliant way. Now, I think because most people don't know this one, it's going to work maybe better. Because like you say, we're not attached to a franchise.
No, and also there's going to be a lot of people going to see this in the multiplexes in the US who maybe don't even know that it's based on an anime. I still haven't seen, I think it was Netflix who did Death Note live action, because I can't bring myself to be so horribly disappointed because I was so invested in Death Note. It was just, back in the day, that was the show.
There's Old Boy. Now, Old Boy is an amazing manga, and the original Korean adaptation is meant to be fantastic, but Josh Brolin did it. I didn't even know it had been done until I was looking this up today. Mm-hmm. Did a version of it, kind of scene for scene, like the Korean version, and that's apparently no good. It disappeared completely. I don't even remember it coming out. The Guyver. Do you remember The Guyver with Mark Hamill?
Guyver, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I know the anime. I don't know the Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill, when he was still young in Luke Skywalker, made a live-action version of The Guyver, where a young bloke discovers an alien suit of armour that makes him superhuman. Yeah. And the movie is superhumanly awful.
Mm. Oh, good, good, as it should be. What else you got?
The Dragon Ball movie, which, again, just... It stunk up the place so much that I never even could bring myself to see it.
You got Avatar The Last Airbender on that list. Totally Shyamalan. 100% Shyamalan, because I have seen bits of that, and that is just absolute dog turd.
Speed Racer, Wachowski Brothers. Amazing looking, but utter rubbish.
No, I rate that. I really enjoyed Speed Racer. I've got it on DVD. I don't. And this is one of those weird things. I don't recall ever buying it on a DVD, but it is physically in my possession.
So what you're saying is you shoplifted it?
Possibly, yeah, but I would remember that more, I would have thought. Okay, what else?
The most recent one is Ghost in the Shell. Mm. Did you see it?
No, no. And I, every review I read of it was that it was that the whitewashing was so problematic that it's very hard to get past that and just watch the film.
Exactly. It's a beautiful looking film and it has some amazing action sequences. If they'd put some wonderful Japanese actress into that part, it would remove a giant speed hump in the likability of that movie, but it's not a great film. It's okay.
Hollywood has a current solution to the to the whitewashing Asian roles, and it's called Michelle Yeoh. It's really easy, guys. Just cast Michelle Yeoh in everything. Make her the next James Bond, for God's sake. Who cares? She's that damn good, and she's back in Star Trek Discovery. How good is that? Season 2, Episode 4, and she kicks ass. Speaking of which, have you been watching Discovery Season 2?
I'm partway through the second episode. I'm already loving Pike. I think Pike's great.
Anson Mount, who was in the Inhumans, the series that the Marvel series that sort of failed. They're a bit like X-Men light, and you know he wasn't very inspiring in that. But how good is he in this? Yeah, totally. I'd also love the wonderful treat in episode 4 where the universal translator on the ship breaks, and you discover that they're not all talking English. On the actual bridge, the bridge crew are actually talking their language, and it breaks, so it's a complete disaster because they can't talk to each other. Very funny.
I'm not up to that yet. I will get there. Are they coming out weekly? Is that what they're actually doing with the episodes?
Yep. They're coming out weekly. I really would. I would binge on it, but of course, DC. CBS All Access, their streaming network, likes to drop things one week at a time, television style. I've just noticed, back to Alita, this has got two of my favourite character actors in it, in the form of Christopher Waltz, who is just amazing.
Fantastic.
And Jackie Earle Haley, who I literally, prior to Watchmen, he had done one film of note, and it was Dodgeball. Yeah, Dodgeball. And
because of the job he did in Watchmen, he is cast this little bloke... Mm. Older bloke is cast as a tough ass mofo in everything.
Yeah, exactly. And it's bizarre because it's so against physical type, but it so works so well because he's good. So I'm quite looking forward to kicking back and relaxing with this one. We should have done this in the cinema where you can get a beer. That would have been good, wouldn't it?
She's the last of her kind. She contains technology that have been lost for 300 years.
This body, I feel a connection to it. I can't explain. You know more about me than you're saying.
Alita, some things have been left forgotten.
Then I'll find out for myself.
She's threatening the natural order of things. I need you to destroy her.
Alita, they will come for you.
I'll have to face them head on.
We've just seen Alita, Battle Angel, and young Clark here has just given his three-word review. Say it again.
It was awesome.
And I think, Joel, that actually sums it up. The 10-year-old I brought with me thought it was awesome.
I think that's exactly who it was made for, Andrew. Funnily enough, it's got an M rating. So I was a little worried about bringing Louis here, but I looked at the trailers and stuff and went, no, it's cartoon violence. And this is what it is. It's just a giant piece of cartoon violence.
Look, there was one bit of potty mouth that was in the whole film. Look, Joel, I put that up there with Ready Player One, where looked great. It had a terribly straightforward story. There was nothing going on. It had a very strange ending. There's a third act missing. I feel that's a little bit sequel bait, which I don't like. Christoph Waltz is just good. He just turns up and he's good. The action was impeccably well done. But what I reckon is it shows you why Rodriguez was so good in making those two Spy Kids films. He just gets young adult action films.
It is kind of a big kids movie, despite the incredible amount of violence in it. There's very little blood. It's more exploding robots. And it becomes pretty clear early on that you can have your head chopped off and still survive because an awful lot of the characters running around are human heads on robot bodies.
And how convenient the fact that by having most of the cyborgs as literally just human heads, you don't get any blood and you can dismember people because you're just ripping mechanical arms and legs off. I do want to point out, you know, the giant dumb as a box of rocks cyborg one who was sort of the main bad guy you thought?
Jackie Earle Haley.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, I could have removed her arm from his eye socket and he would have got a Medicare rebate of $71. Did you realise that?
That's very good to know if I'm ever a giant cyborg with another cyborg's arm in my eye socket. Good stuff about that movie. like you say, the action is unbelievably well done. The fight scenes are fantastic. I mean, it's just cyborgs beating up on cyborgs with various ridiculous science fiction weaponry. There's a no guns rule that's declared in the first like 5 minutes of the movie. There's no guns here. There's a death penalty if you have a gun.
Do they kill you by firing squad?
So the action is fantastic. I think the actors for the most part were fine. The design was very derivative of Ready Player One.
Totally agree.
The city that they live in was directly out of the kind of slum of Ready Player One, almost exactly. I did like how very manga-ish the design was. So there's a couple of times when you see Nova, who's kind of the bad guy behind the bad guy, and he's wearing these very science fiction-y, like very manga-y little kind of overglasses over the top of his normal glasses.
I was getting mad about them because they made no sense and I didn't explain them, and I just got this fixation on eyes and glasses, not surprisingly. I agree. It looked the way I would have expected it to look. Yes, absolutely. Dystopian futures really are either from now on Ready Player One or Blade Runner. That's pretty much what you get in dystopian futures.
And Ready Player One is just Blade Runner in the daytime.
Yeah. Blade Runner for kids, basically.
There are a couple of action moments there. There's one where a bad robot is firing fingers on chains at her, which are spiraling through the air, and she is spiraling in between them, avoiding them. There's a few shots like that which are just unbelievably well done and really jaw-dropping. But the script is quite naff in places. There are things that just make no sense. Like, one of the good guys has his shoulder crushed under a cyborg's robot hand to the point where blood's running out and it's cracking. So clearly his shoulder is broken and smashed and pulverized.
But
he's doing parkour 10 seconds later.
Yeah, exactly. Now, my problem was there was so much exposition in that. There was entire scenes of people explaining what was going on or what has gone on or what is going to go on for the pure benefit of the audience. You know, just writing scripts where you have to have that sort of exposition, where you have to bring a character in who doesn't know what's going on, so someone else is forced to tell you about what's going on, is lazy, 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 but it helps kids.
It's a harsh, cruel world. You have to follow your dream. Oh, my God, I can't believe that came out of that guy's gob. It's just such naff writing. I kind of found myself very frustrated with how a movie with so much money poured into it and so much clever stuff about it has that clunkiness of writing. Because even kids' movies don't need to be that clunky.
No. Now, here's a weird thing. Why in dystopian futures does the human race become obsessed with roller skates? Happens all the bloody time. Roller skates. Or this whole film was basically degenerated into roller derby.
There was a marvellous little mystery at the start there about what Dr. Ido is doing at night and how he's gotten his injuries. I kind of like that. Clark has more. What's up, Clark?
Okay, so you know how sometimes you even feel slightly bad for the mate, like the giant robot guy with the finger thingamajigs? I was like, well, I mean, he's probably going to die in a brutal way in the end. I guess I can feel slightly bad for him. Then he killed the dog, and I'm like, go the hell, get your arms chopped off, then get two swords in your eyes, because why the dog? Why? It was so cute.
That Clark is called being marked for death. When a bad guy does something spectacularly cruel and horrible, that person is then marked for death. You know they're going to die in a horrible and satisfying fashion at the hands of the good guy. It's like you know, the moment in a movie about school kids when a bully gives someone else an atomic wedgie, you know that bully is going to suffer later in the movie. So that's what that was, writ large.
That was a true popcorn film. I think we bought the correct demographic humans with us to watch it. I'm not unhappy that I spent a Saturday night watching that, but I don't think I'd go and, you know, grab it again and watch it a few times. Although, Joel, I said that about Ready Player One, and Clark, we've watched that twice in the last few weeks, haven't we?
He thought I wasn't going to understand anything about it.
Did you get it, though?
Yes, I got every single bit of it.
Actually, can I point out, Having watched that a few more times, I mean, there's the more Easter eggs in that film than any other film. And in the final battle at the end, and you see people's avatars and you see Batman and Batgirl and a few others, this is what took me out of the film the third time I saw it. You see the Ninja Turtles, but it's the Michael Bay live-action Ninja Turtles. No one in their right mind is going to use them as their avatar. If you have a choice, that simply wouldn't happen. So I thought that was a bad choice. But then a Gundam was fighting Iron Giant, so I'm sort of, I'll give him a free pass on that.
It's kind of interesting to see a science fiction world which isn't entirely about information technology, which is about robotics and the grafting of humanity to machinery, but not in a digital sense.
Yeah, that was a very down and dirty, gritty, mechanical future. You could see how things were being put together. None of the human-made cyborgs had any sense of style, which contrasted with her so much, because she was ultimately about style and sleekness. And I like that sort of juxtaposition, was pretty cool.
She's Bruce Lee and everyone else is Andre the Giant.
Yeah, totally. That's brilliant. Absolutely, yeah. And of course, you know, there's the hero with amnesia thing, so you're throwing a bit of Jason Bourne in there, because that works really well in these sort of films. And never actually explain how she gets a memory back, because what? A lot of that film was I reckon, on the set, Robert. So, like, how's that going to work from there to there? And he'll be just, whatevs, James told me to do it. That's what we're doing. So I don't think I'm the right person to rate it. I think I'd like to hear, out of five, what do you boys think?
Clark, out of five?
Four.
Louis, out of five?
Because of logic, three. There was practically no logic.
Logic.
So the 10-year-old enjoyed it, but the logic didn't even fit for them.
Yeah, look, I think that sums it up really well. We'll probably, you know, when it appears on a streaming service in the next few months, we might watch it in, Clark, but yeah, until then.
5 stars for the looks and 2 stars for the brains.
Mm. And 10 stars for rollerblades.